Hello there, and welcome to the Workplace Communication Podcast, a podcast dedicated to leaders who want to elevate team performance by refining leadership communication skills. And now, let's dive right in with your host, Lindsay LaPaquette.
Welcome back again to another episode of the Workplace Communication Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay LaPaquette, and today we're here talking with Corey Robertson, who's a professional certified coach who will be speaking to us about knowing our blind spots. Even the best leaders fail without self-awareness. Corey, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So Corey is, like I said, a professional certified coach and an expert on organizational culture, engagement, and retention in the tech industry with a client list that includes Fortune 100 companies. Corey helps technical leaders understand people management in an engineering culture. Over her 20-plus year career, Corey has helped hundreds of organizations develop high-caliber leaders and expand rapidly without diluting the culture. Corey is the founder and CEO of the Coaching Academy for Leaders, offering ICF-accredited programs. The Academy's unique proprietary method blends coaching competencies and leadership theory in a revolutionary way to help individuals and teams achieve high-level results. So, Corey, one of the first questions I have for you is I'm just interested in how you got into what you're doing today.
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. You know, in my early career, I got into the workplace and I was actually quite heartbroken because I went in there so excited to start work and be part of a team and be part of a company. And it wasn't what I was hoping for. There was a lot of office politics. There was a lot of weak leadership. There was a lot of, you know, scapegoating and finger pointing. And I felt extremely demotivated and crushed and just really very, very disappointed. And so eventually I decided that I would go into business for myself. I would work for myself so that I could enjoy my career. I could enjoy work. And I started a practice, which was actually offering micro marketing tactics to very, very small businesses. And in that business, I had three professional coaches who were my clients. And I started asking them, you know, what is this professional coaching thing? At the time, I thought coaching was a sports thing, you know, like a hockey coach or a golf coach or something. And so one of them was actually a teacher, a professor at Coach U, and he lent me his training material that he teaches his students. And that was it. I read two giant binders over the course of one weekend. So he lent me the material on Friday night. Monday morning, I enrolled, and I have been studying the practice of professional coaching ever since. It's really, to me, you know, all of that work I was doing in helping, you know, small businesses, I really, really, it hit home for me that professional coaching is such an important element in professional development, personal development, and really people finding their potential.
Yeah. So part of it is about creating the workplace maybe that you wished you'd had in your early career.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's really curious to me because, you know, we work so hard as a young person in our studies in university. And, you know, we're all looking for that dream job and we spend hours and hours and hours preparing and fortunes and getting degrees and certifications and qualifications. And so many people out there are miserable at work. Mm. You know, and so that's why I call it like such a big heartbreak, because it's like trying to find the love of your life and you get out there and you're like, oh, I've got my career. I'm here. I made it. And then the workplace is just so broken. And a lot of it has to do with poor leadership. And coaching is so powerful when it comes to that. And this is when we talk about blind spots, this is something that leaders really need to be aware of, is what are their blind spots when it comes to whether they're going to be crushing the members of their workforce or really elevating them so that the organization can thrive and that the company can thrive. You know, one of my one of the things that I call from the rooftops is, you know, for your company to thrive, your people have to thrive. And leaders really need to know themselves so that they know how to adapt their leadership style to suit the needs of the individuals and ignite them so that they are really happy to be at work.
I think my journey into the workplace was somewhat similar in that, like you said, you have these big aspirations, and these big goals, and you've worked so hard. You know, for me, it was through university, and then you get that first job that you're so excited about, and it was tough. It wasn't the job that was tough. It was the dynamics and the way decisions were made. And to be honest, I loved my job, but the rest of the weight of it drove me also to start to work for myself. And when you speak about blind spots, looking back, and so I'm not always even speaking about the person who was my direct supervisor at the time, but, you know, maybe their supervisor or the next person up, that it often did stem from this space of blind spots and not being aware of one's weaknesses and how to adjust, that drove me out of working for someone else also. And I think nowadays, this is part of the retention problem that we're facing. So I'd like to get a bit into blind spots. Maybe let's just start by, having you explain what exactly that means for anyone who's not quite clear.
Right. So a blind spot in this context is really about what is it about your leadership style or how your personality shows up at work that is causing you the problems that you're experiencing. So, you know, when you mention, for example, retention being a problem, and, you know, and before that you had said you loved the work, but you didn't love how the work was getting done. What we say and what we know is that people don't leave their work. They don't leave their jobs. And very often they don't even leave their companies. What it is that they're leaving is their manager. It's the boss. It's the leadership of the organization, exactly like you described in your own experience and like it was in my experience. People very rarely dislike the work that they train to do. They often hold that as a passion for their entire lives. It's the workplace. So this is the blind spot that leaders really, really need, you know, some help around, you know, being able to see around. And if they can't see it themselves, then they need to get some support from their coach on how to see how they're showing up, how their personality, how their character traits are impacting the team, and what happens, you know, what's the follow-on or the knockoff effect of that. So that's a little bit how I would describe a blind spot.
I guess similar to, you know, the blind spot in a car probably came from that name, you know, where there's a spot you just can't see. And I know from my own, you know, life journey and the work I've done too, that we often, younger or less self-aware, perceive that our style is the best one. I know I've been guilty of that in my life, right? That if I'm, you know, so I'm somebody who likes to know where I'm headed and I like flexibility. And so I used to perceive anyone who didn't have those traits as doing it worse than me, to be flat out honest.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was, a lack of self-awareness and, you know, not knowing my own blind spots. And so one question I have for you that, is a bit tricky, I think, is when you're not self-aware, it's so hard to be aware of where those blind spots are. And my experience has been professionally has been that with people who really don't have any awareness yet of, their need to be self-aware, it can be really tricky to get them on board with why this is important and the value it can bring in their life. So how do you shift that with somebody who doesn't have that awareness at all yet?
Yeah. So, you know, there has got to be a willingness on the part of the client, right? Or the boss, or, you know, for a person who's completely shut down, shut off, closed. I think what has to happen is the suffering that they're experiencing has got to become so much so that they say, okay, I'm curious. what can you do to help me? Mm. So that's one category, you know, is the pain has to, you know, the pain of opening up and exploring and becoming self-aware has got to be less so than the pain of what you're actually experiencing, you know, the high turnover, the extreme conflict or the extreme stress of the workplace, the failure to be able to keep loyal customers, you know, that's got to be so painful that they finally say, all right, I'm willing to look and see how I'm contributing to these problems.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to add for, you know, what's becoming, thank goodness, more and more of the norm in the workplace is leaders already have that knowledge that they don't know everything, they can't see everything, and they're reaching out for help. They're reaching out for more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying that when I look at the people I've worked with, that there's usually, so I was going to say an instigating event. I don't necessarily mean one big, you know, significant thing that has happened that has driven them to want to look at making these changes in their lives. But, you know, it sometimes has been a buildup of factors. But like you say, there's enough suffering or pain that is leading them towards this decision. I fully agree with what you say that you can't impact change on somebody who's not willing to. And I guess that gets back to part of coaching is that's not really the goal. It's more to have a partnership with that client in this journey. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you do get the case where, you know, an executive or, you know, an HR director will reach out and say, you know, I have somebody who really needs coaching, but I don't think he's on board, or I don't think she's on board. You know, what do you advise? Mm-hmm. So in those kinds of cases, you know, I would say, let me talk to the person and they can experience what coaching could be like or what they might get out of it. And in that case, sometimes they'll see, oh yeah, this isn't quite so bad. You know, it's not as bad as it would be. You know, there's that perception that, you know, coaching is about fixing people or correcting people. And it's a punishment, you know, because you're off the rails and you need to be reined in. And that's really, really not what coaching is about. It's really not what we mean when we're saying we want to help people be more self-aware. It's not we're rubbing their faces and their mistakes and their faults. Not at all. Actually, it's the absolute opposite. And, you know, maybe I can jump in a little bit and explain a bit about what it actually is to be self-aware. Sure. As opposed to what it's not. So basically, in professional coaching, what we're interested in really is strengths and qualities. And one of the ways we look at this is most professional coaches or many professional coaches like myself, we use what's, you know, commonly called a personality test at the beginning of the journey. And personality test is not the professional term. The professional term, the industry term, is psychometric assessment. Mm-hmm. And the word assessment is a really carefully chosen and important word for self-awareness because it's not a test. There's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. And it's not about faults and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. It's about getting a snapshot of your strengths and your qualities and how you use them on a day-to-day basis and how they're perceived by other people. And then when you have that information, you know, it's a, you know, most of the really strong psychometric instruments on the market have been around for a while and they're really, really good and they help and they open up fantastic conversations about how are your strengths showing up. And what's fascinating is that what we know now is what tends to happen is we will overuse our strengths when we're stressed out or overextended, but in some way, like maybe being overworked or exhausted or something, we will overuse our strength. And that is what ends up looking like a fault or a weakness. So for example, a person who is often very competitive. So that's awesome. It's awesome to have a competitive person in your company because, you know, they're out there trying to beat the competition. You know, they're out there trying to win the next sale. Or, you know, they're out there trying to please the client so that, you know, the client remains loyal, and that's their competitive spirit kicking in. But when a competitive person becomes overextended, it becomes win at all costs. They become fixated. You know, nothing else matters. So it's because when they're overextended, they just revert to what works the best, what comes most easily to them. And then it becomes overused.
Yeah. And so how does it help then when people are able to become more aware of, so it's not even just becoming aware of weakness, it's becoming aware of strengths and where those are overused. Once somebody is aware of that, how does that impact their ability to be an effective leader?
Oh my God, what a great question. So there's several layers to that. So when you're aware of your strengths and you use them on purpose, you use them intentionally, it becomes like rocket fuel. So when we're coming from strengths and we're coming from our qualities, it's energizing and it's easier. So it takes less, you know, it causes less stress on our systems. It ignites and it invokes creativity and innovation. Another thing that it does is as you become self-aware, your capacity for being aware of other people and their strengths and overextensions also becomes enriched. Mm-hmm. So if for example, if you're reporting to me and I understand myself and my own qualities and my strengths, because I have that vocabulary, I have that capacity, I can now start spotting them in you. And then I can adjust, I can mindfully and knowingly adjust my qualities and my strengths to suit you better. So I can amplify my qualities to bring out the best in you, because as a self-aware person, I can be, oh, I think Lindsay's getting a little overextended. I'm going to flex my style to adapt to her, to help her regain her composure. Or I recognize this in myself. I can see, you know, that you have this too. Let's put our heads together and really make it that much more powerful. So we look at, in the assessment that I use, my preferred one, we look at 24 human qualities, and there's definitions for each of these. And we learn, you know, in the relationship, you know, with the coach, how to turn these on, how to amplify them, how to use them more on purpose. And we also learn to recognize them as an overextension and go, oh, okay, whoa, I have got to compose myself. I can tell that this is on the wrong track. This is not going well for anybody. And so I am going to take control of my emotions and reset and recalibrate to where I want to be and where I can be my best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, like yourself, I also do use some psychometric testing in my work. I shouldn't say testing, assessments. But what I wanted to get at was I've seen it used sometimes where, once the assessments are done, so I've seen in organizations where at times, for instance, the entire team or the entire organization does the assessment. So we're not talking on a coaching level, of course, here. And then somebody from within the organization decides that, for example, everyone is going to put their personality type on their desk or on their door. So everyone kind of understands the nuances of how to best interact. And I've seen sometimes a vibe where there's a perception within the organization that certain personality traits are better than others. So for instance, you know, an employee being told by their leader that because they scored low, let's say, in a certain personality trait, they need to work harder to be better at that trait, more like the leader. And I'd like to have you speak a bit to that balance between, you know, it's of course it's important for growth purposes for us to learn skills that we may be weak on, but where's that line between working on skills and trying to mold somebody into who they aren't?
Yeah. So this will happen, right? So somebody will come to me and they'll say something like, I'm told this every time at my evaluation that I've got to be more like this or I've got to be more like that. And I'm just really tired of people telling me how my personality should be. This is me, and stop trying to change me. And I agree. I quite frankly agree. What I would add to that is, you know, we're not necessarily changing people. I think that would be a fundamentally wrong way of going about it. I think the real beauty of it comes when we look at it as, I'm not trying to change you because you're perfect as you are. We're trying to evolve as human beings, and we're trying to evolve in an organization, and we're adding tools to the toolbox. We're adding skill sets. We're adding the capacity to behave differently when that different behavior will be the benefit to all, including oneself. So it's adding to the toolbox, not changing the toolbox or taking tools out of the toolbox. And in some cases, you know, somebody might say, you know, oh, I want to be on management track. I want to be a manager. I want to move up my, move up the career ladder in this organization. And the answer will be, yes, great. You know, you've got a fantastic technical skill set. You're brilliant at what you do, but to manage people, you have to also be able to do, you know, give constructive feedback and manage conflict, or, you know, lead meetings. And that's where people go, oh, well, you know, I'm direct and I'm to the point and that's just the way I am and don't try to change me. It's like, well, if that's your attitude, you're not willing to grow, you're not willing to learn, you know, you're aware that, you know, your personality has a tendency to be a little harsh or a little too direct. And that's going to cause, you know, the people who will report to you to retract and not be able to fulfill their potential. So do you see where I'm going with this? Like,
absolutely. I think what you said about it not being about changing people, I think that, and we touched on this earlier, but that desire to change and grow needs to come from within. And what I've experienced in my work is, and you know, related to that story you mentioned earlier about a manager sending someone else to you for coaching who isn't interested, is that when somebody doesn't have that desire to grow or evolve, they're really in a defensive mode, right? If they're saying, well, I'm direct and that's the way it is and take it or leave it, that's where we get the least success. And so whereas when we approach it from a space of, like you said, we're looking to grow and evolve, and it's not from a place of judgment, but it's just from a place of sort of continually improving upon ourselves and the organization, is where we have the most success. And I guess getting back to that example I shared within that organization, the fundamental reason that company was undertaking the work they were doing wasn't really aligned with a growth mentality of, you know, we're all trying to grow and understand one another. It was more aligned with we're trying to mold people into a certain way of doing things, which in my experience isn't the best path to change. I suspect you've seen the same in your career.
Yeah. And it's a culture thing too, right? And I think this is why organizations have to be so much more mindful of culture. And, you know, this is, you know, I mean, we could have a whole other podcast just on culture. But it's about, as in taking responsibility as the employee to be in the culture that's right for you, you know, because if you have a values conflict about how your organization goes about running itself, you know, it's fundamentally against what you believe is right, then you've got to move on. You know, you've got to find a place where your human values align with the organization. And, you know, organizations need to have what's, you know, called a culture strategy. You know, what do we believe in? You know, what are our values? And how do we go about demonstrating those values in our behaviors? And that goes back to self-awareness. And, you know, that goes back to using, you know, instruments like you use and I use, the psychometrics, to make sure that our qualities and our strengths are being, you know, demonstrated in a way that aligns with the company culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've absolutely seen the same as what you're saying in terms of when people are really aware of those strengths and can tap into them and manage when they get to sort of the more extreme ends, that's where everyone in the organization starts to really be able to flourish. Because I think you're using everyone in their zone of genius.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, when you do that. Yeah.
Great. Zone of genius. What a beautiful expression.
So it's not my term and I can't remember who coined it, so I can't give credit, but I do love it because, you know, even in my own work, and I don't know if you've experienced similar, I find the more I can even just be aware of that myself, the more I can make good decisions around, you know, is this in my zone of genius? Is this the thing that I'm really, really good at doing? Mm-hmm. Or is this somebody that I need to hire somebody else, something I need to hire someone else to do? So for myself, processes and anything related to processes and tons of structure is not my best skill. I'm really good at being very flexible and thinking outside of the box. And so I've learned that just because I'm not great at processes and don't love them doesn't mean my business doesn't need them to run efficiently.
Yeah.
And so I have someone else who helps me develop and stay on track with my processes. And so, you know, getting back to blind spots, when I didn't realize that was a blind spot, I didn't value that need within an organization. And I guess that's where when leaders can be aware of their own blind spots and where someone else actually has that as a strength, they can make really good decisions.
And you know, that whole piece that you're mentioning, you know, you like doing things this way and this is how you know, you're in your zone of genius. And to be aware that those folks who are really good at the things that you're not so good at, they're not, you know, and this is the self-awareness piece and being aware of the qualities of others. They're not being like that to ruin your day.
Right.
You know, they're not trying to pick a fight with you. They are in their zone of genius and they're trying to make the best possible contribution that they can make and what they were hired to do.
Yeah.
So in having awareness, and you know, this is where psychometric assessments can really help, and having that awareness of yourself and the awareness of others, you go, oh, wow. You know, how do I not only work with my mirrored self, but how do I also work in harmony with my opposite self and go, oh my gosh, you are illuminating my blind spots. You are adding to the pot in a way that I never would have even been able to see if it wasn't for your unique skill set. And so when we're not clashing, you know, we're collaborating, big word in the workforce, right? Collaboration, you know, but where does that, you know, golden gem come from? It's collaboration, this holy grail of the workplace. You know, it comes from self-awareness and the capacity to flex, you know, your awareness of yourself, your strengths, your overuse of strengths to that of the other person.
Yeah. And to me, that ability to work with the opposite of yourself, as you described it, I really like the words you use to describe that, that takes a lot of self-awareness and a lot of skill. And when people are able to do that well, they manage their teams generally very well, because there's a base of respect that is needed to be able to work effectively with your opposite self, who brings out all your memories of all the things you're not quite as good at.
And you don't need to be, right? You don't need to be great at everything. So I wanted to share with you and those folks who have joined us today. We have a gift that we'd like to share with your audience. And what it is, it's a free app where you can log in and do a self-assessment. You can, and it's a beautiful interactive experience. And what you can do is you can share your results with your colleagues on the app. And then the what the app will do is it will overlay the other person's, you know, the visual reputation, representation of their personality over yours. And then you scroll through it and it gives you advice. It will say, you know, Corey and Lindsay are, you know, have a tendency to be the same in this way. Corey and Lindsay have a tendency to be different in this way. You know, Corey, when dealing with Lindsay, flex in that way. And the more people on your team who have access to this, the more you have information about it. So you were talking before about people putting their color chart on their desk. You know, this is a similar, it's a hybrid, it's a turbocharged experience of that, where you, before you go into a meeting with a person or write somebody an email, you could just call up, you know, there, we call it a splash, and you'll see why when you get the app, why we call it a splash. You can call it up and it will give you some advice on yourself, what you need to amplify, rein in, and some awareness of the other person. And so I'll give you a link where you can access the app, and it's a free app. And then there's also a few videos on how to download it, how to read it. And then there's a bonus video at the end on if you want to go further and deeper into the assessment, how you could do that.
That sounds really amazing. And I think the fact that you can look at, like you said, you can pull it up right before you send an email is a huge tool, because it allows you to keep it fresh in your mind and, you know, obviously adapt your way of interacting in a way that's going to get you the best results possible. Oh, yeah. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And Corey, is there anywhere else if people want to reach out to you on, where are you most active on social media? Can you give us, you know, some info on how people can reach out to you?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So I'm on LinkedIn. So yep. You can find me just by, you know, typing, my name, Corey Robertson, Corry Robertson. I also have a very active, business page on Facebook, which is Corey Robertson Alive from 9 to 5. And, you know, I'm also available on the phone. So if you go to my website, coreyrobertson.com, on the resources page, you'll find an app to schedule a call with me. It's called talkwithcorey.com. It's on the website. It's just book a virtual coffee with me and I'll talk you through more information about how to use the app, and, you know, bring whatever, you know, if this conversation has sort of sparked some curiosities and you have some questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them in a way that's really addressing what's on your mind.
That's awesome. So thanks for being so generous. I really appreciate you sharing all of that with our listeners. And like I said, you can find all of that info in the show notes, so you can go check that out. I want to thank everyone again for taking the time to listen and learn more about how we can all recognize our own blind spots so that we can be more self-aware, and which essentially leads people to be better leaders. If you're listening and you're interested in supporting the leaders in your organization in refining the leadership communication skills needed to elevate team performance, you can reach out to me. My info's on my website, lindsaylapaquette.com, and that's also in the show notes. So thanks for listening, everyone. It's Lindsay Lapaquette and Corey Robertson signing off for now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Corey.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Workplace Communication Podcast with Lindsay LaPaquette. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share and also leave a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening. If your organization is looking to invest in elevating team performance by refining leadership communication skills, you can find more information about Lindsay's coaching, speaking, and consulting by visiting lindsaylapaquette.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.